Have you ever wondered what the underlying root cause was to almost any illness or injury? If so, then join us today as Dr. Melissa Sell explains how German New Medicine can help us unravel the conflicts associated with almost any disease and illness. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Inspire Health Podcast as we continue on with our series on trauma recovery from surviving to thriving. And today we've got Dr. Melissa Sell. And Dr. Melissa Sell is a chiropractor and Germanic New Medicine consultant. She helps people to understand their symptoms from a German New Medicine perspective, guides them in learning to trust their bodies, and teaches them mental shifts for creating a deep sense of peace and well-being. Melissa, what an honor to have you on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
I'm excited to chat with you too. I've been familiar with German New Medicine for several years now. And when I was recently did one of the other episodes, and I think I was telling you before this, that we got a comment back saying, I need to contact you to interview you for this series because they really liked the work that you did. So I checked everything out and saw, oh, that's awesome. You do German New Medicine. That was one of the topics I wanted to cover anyways. And you're a chiropractor as well. So we'll kind of blend those worlds when we have our conversation today.
Perfect.
One of the things I really like about German New Medicine is it gets people to think very differently from the context of how we are traditionally taught around medicine and even around our bodies. So I think one of the things I really love about it, and I think is such an important concept to bring to people, is that it honors the inherent natural intelligence of the body. It's sort of like, it's not like we are, our job is to basically be here and just try to survive and protect ourselves from everything bad going on. It's like there's a wisdom that goes on in the body. And I really think German New Medicine really dials that in so that there's an opportunity for us to continually grow and evolve if we pay attention to what's going on. So maybe I'll pass it over to you to just introduce yourself a little bit and how you came across German New Medicine, and then give an overview of what it is, and then we'll start to go through some of the details.
Totally. I love what you said, because that's what drew me to GNM and the five biological laws, is the recognition of the deep, deep intelligence inside of the body. And that, from my chiropractic training and chiropractic philosophy, is all about innate intelligence, that the body is wise and ancient and knows what to do to survive. And all of that survival wisdom is programmed into every tissue, layer, cell, embryologic, all of this, it's all programmed in. And so what we experience as dis-ease, as symptoms, we can, you know, our modern minds see it as, oh, this is wrong, cut this out. Oh, this is high, let's bring it down. This is low, let's bring it up. Instead of recognizing, oh, there's wisdom here. The body is doing this for an intentional reason. And so I was in the realm of chiropractic care and holistic lifestyle. So I taught people nutrition and exercise and detox and all of the behavioral things to do to what I believe was to be healthy and to prevent disease from forming in the body, because I believe that things like, you know, sugar feeds cancer and toxins cause cancer and all of these, you know, external things in the world, we need to do our best to avoid them and to cleanse them out of our lives so our body doesn't, you know, produce cancer. But when I, early in 2017, I came across Germanic New Medicine, GNM, the five biological laws. And I heard Dr. Hammer's story, which, if you're unfamiliar, he lost his 17-year-old son. He was shot and died a few months after this tragic injury. And then after that, Dr. Hammer developed testicular cancer. And he made the connection. There had to be a link between his traumatic loss and this cancer. And so he took that idea and investigated it further by interviewing patients. He worked in oncology. So he talked to people who had cancer. And then he started looking at the brains of people who had cancer. And so he started to piece together what developed into these five biological laws, which are laws of nature that have always existed, that are present in every single organism. And he found that every time someone had a traumatic loss, a man in particular had a loss, they would develop testicular cancer. Every time a person who had a lung tumor, they had some type of death fright conflict. A woman with a breast gland tumor had a nest worry conflict. So he started, you know, so it wasn't just stress, because for a long time we've associated, you know, Hans Selye with stress and and disease, and that the idea is that stress depletes the body, makes it weak, and then the immune system isn't functioning, and therefore cancer cells can take over. And so there's like this almost this inner battle that's going on where we have to be conscious and boost our immune system and make sure our immune system is working so we don't get cancer. But Dr. Hummer and his work changes that narrative and changes our understanding of what cancer actually is. So cancer is not a wrongness. Rather, it is an intentional biological tissue adaptation that develops in response to our perception and experience of a shocking trauma, something that catches us off guard in a moment, a loss, a phone call. I'm sorry, your son is gone, your wife is gone, your business is sunk, you know, this shock in a moment. And your psyche, you couldn't handle it. It exceeded your threshold for what you could handle and understand. And so your body steps in with these adaptations. And so what that's called is a conflict shock, or a DHS. And it is registered by the psyche. In the brain, there is a measurable impact. Dr. Hummer did CT scans and analyzed the CT scan and found that in particular regions of the brain that control particular organs, depending on the type of shock the person had, there's a ring formation in the brain and there's tissue adaptation on the organ level. So he developed this entire system of looking at the body and decoding and understanding, what does a rash mean? What does a sore throat mean? What does a sty mean? What is a urinary tract infection? All of these things, rather than looking at them as failures of the immune system or the body, you know, some type of malfunction or an outside agent like a bacteria or a virus that gets in us and causes a problem. What we're seeing is the effect of tissue adaptation initiated by shocking traumas. So that's kind of like the big picture of what this work is. And it's very deep. The five biological laws go through our embryology. It's connected to our developmental history as organisms. And it's very deep and rich and fascinating science of why we develop certain tissue adaptation conditions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I find it completely fascinating. And if people, I think on some intuitive level, I think people kind of get that. I think that they do know that there's more than just this physical body. I think that we've just been sort of conditioned to think that that's what we need to work with. And we kind of forget the other parts. And I think probably even we don't want to work with the other parts because there's sometimes a little bit more work involved to work with these underlying conflicts. It usually means we have to make certain changes once we make certain realizations and whether we're really prepared to do that or not. Those are all some of the things I think we wrestle with. But, you know, I'll often get people in clinic to do patients to do a timeline of their physical injuries and kind of have peaks at when they run through different times where they had major illnesses or injuries, and then do another one that's more of a mental, emotional sort of stressor timeline, and then do peaks on when they had bigger sort of stressors in their life, right? And you will almost always see a stressor point preceding the physical manifestation of something. And I mean, I see it over and over again, no matter what it is, when you kind of go back and ask like, okay, well, what was going on kind of around that time? You know, maybe anywhere from like 6 months to where you are, what kind of stuff had taken place? And you almost always find some major stressor. So I think the thing is that most people get then, or I should say, if they're open enough to looking at that, so then once they've realized that there is a conflict, how do they start the process of what's required to resolve a conflict, I guess? So once they become aware that there's a conflict, like, oh crap, okay, yeah. So that problem is related to this. So now that they've kind of drawn that awareness, what's the next step? What would they start to do with that?
Even more awareness because, you know, most of our conflicts and things, by the time we have a symptom, we've already resolved it. Most of the time, because most symptoms come on during the first phase of tissue restoration after the conflict resolution. And so we are spontaneously all the time processing and resolving conflicts. And so by adding this awareness in and noticing, oh, you know what? This shifted. I was really worried. I was really stressed about this thing that was happening. I was shocked by it. And then I was losing sleep about it. Oh, but then I got that answer. That solution came. That's when I chilled out. That's when I relaxed. And ooh, that's when my physical pain started. That's when that's when the headache kicked in. That's when the symptoms began. And so by understanding the biological laws, really that is the essence of really how do you incorporate this is you have to recognize it. You have to know when you're in conflict. And that does, it requires self-awareness. And a lot of people, they're so busy, they're so externally oriented, to slow down and to look within is a big task, because it's like, I don't even have time to do anything. You know, I'm so busy. And so it's slowing down and taking the time to pay attention to how you are perceiving and experiencing your life and the situations that you're dealing with. And know that you're already equipped to recognize these things and to downgrade and resolve them. You're already doing it all the time, but you can do it with intentionality. You can start noticing, especially for chronic things, so episodic things, once in a blue moon, you'll have a sore throat, or, you'll develop like a UTI. If it's not a chronic issue, those are just interesting points to look back at experiences you've had where you got, horribly sick with the stomach flu. And you say, oh my goodness, it was an indigestible morsel that I was dealing with. And this is what it was. And so you can reflect back on times in your life and illnesses, periods of symptoms that you went through, and make those connections. But if something's become chronic and you're like, I'm always in flare-ups of a physical pain or tooth pain or skin issues, that's when you have to start really making the connections, because our bodies, when we do have a shocking conflict, it flags, it takes a snapshot of everything going on in our world and in our environment. And so we can have a lot of these tracks and triggers where we're constantly being reactivating this conflict outside of our awareness. And so the goal really first is to pay attention and bring it all into your awareness so that you can see, oh, this is how I am unconsciously reactivating that. I developed a perception of the world when I had that shock, and I'm always seeing the world through the lens of I'm not good enough, I'm not fast enough, I'm not strong enough. And so that perception, it's kind of always active to some degree. And so you have to become aware of how you're seeing yourself and the world and other people. And so it's a lot of inner work. Look within, go within. And, that's like ancient teaching, and it's such wisdom, because if we are constantly externally oriented, and even if you're doing everything perfect from like a lifestyle perspective, you're eating right and you're exercising and you're doing all of the things, if you're overwhelmed, if you're stressed, if you're frustrated, if you're beating up on yourself or not being, where you wish you were already, all of those things are playing a role. And so it's going behind the scenes, looking behind the curtain, and really seeing the lenses through which you see the world, your perception of everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well said. I did an episode just the other day where I was doing a tribute to one of my teachers, Dr. David Hawkins, and I was kind of going through the scale of consciousness and everything. And one of the things we talked about was the tipping point from moving to sort of what would be anti-life to what is be pro-life is the level of 200, which is the level of courage. And the hallmark of that is having the capacity and the willingness to actually look at things honestly, having the courage to look at your life honestly. So it's like, until we're able to actually do that, then when we look at it honestly, then we can actually start to address what's really fundamentally going on. Otherwise, I feel like it's very easy to run around wanting it to be something else because we're not quite ready to look at exactly what it is. So what I love about this kind of work is that when people are open to it, I feel like there's so much space for just evolution and growth to occur for people. I know firsthand this type of work has been very, very important for me. And I think you had said in one of your videos I was watching, it's really until you experience it, you have to have certain experiences around this. And then you see it in your life, your firsthand. And when you see how it works firsthand, then you start to really trust it. It's a different sense of knowing.
Absolutely.
So one of the questions would be, when people have, and I want to go through the biological phases too, so you can outline that for people and sort of give an example of how it works. But when people have then recognized the conflict, so essentially is the idea that as soon as someone recognizes the conflict and then resolves the conflict, that then the body starts to heal.
Yes. Well, yes. Yeah, when, and it, whether they consciously recognize it or not, it can resolve without conscious awareness, because the thing about biological conflicts is that they're biological, and like animals experience them. We're experiencing them all the time. A practical resolution typically is going to be just a spontaneous, oh, I, you know, I have a territorial loss conflict. I don't have a job. I get a new job. And then that spontaneously resolves. So the problem is now gone. But when you're adding in that conscious element, because you're seeing how tangled up you've gotten within your, you know, your perception of yourself and your self-image and your self-talk and all of that, that's when this recognition, sometimes it can just be, oh my goodness, I've been devaluing myself or feeling unsupported. And it can be that awareness that takes, you know, if you're in a pain stage, even like, let's say you've resolved something, but this pain, it just keeps coming back. People can have a recognition moment of knowing it's this. And their pain can go from like an 8 to a 1 or a 2, or to a zero even, through that process of recognition. So yes, you do want to, you know, see what is the essence of this? What does GNM say about this? Now, what does this look like in my life? Because there's like the title, the theme, but you are a unique individual, and how you are seeing and perceiving and experiencing this is, it's all you, which is really cool. And that's one of the things that resonates with me the most about GNM, is that it's so unique to the individual.
The Inspire Health Podcast will be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage, or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Where everything else doesn't take into account, how do I see it? Not two people can experience the same type of shock, a divorce, a loss, something tragic happening, but you see it differently than I see it. I perceive it in one way, you perceive it in another. And because of that perception, our bodies adapt in different ways to the situation. And so it is resolving is evolving. When you are able to recognize and see where you keep getting stuck, where you keep reactivating this conflict, you can see that it really is. It's such a window into your personal growth. Whatever you're dealing with chronically, it is your personal invitation to evolve beyond it. And if you stay stuck there, you're stuck at whatever that level is. And once you do have the courage, because it takes radical self-honesty to see some of the things about ourselves. Like for myself personally, it's kind of like, woo, am I ready to acknowledge this? Am I ready to see this? Am I ready to do the work in really seeing you're doing that thing again? You're perceiving your partner in a certain way, and you are, you know, creating anger and creating overwhelm for yourself. Not because, you know, I'm overwhelmed, my life is overwhelming. It's like, well, it's how you are engaging with your life that is overwhelming to you. And so that takes 100% personal responsibility. And one of the reasons that some people may not be resonating with GNM, or like they're not into it, or they kind of don't want it to be true in a sense, because it takes away all scapegoats, all outside things that we like to, you know, point the finger at and say, this is the reason, this is the cause, and you have to turn it all back to yourself. And it's how I'm perceiving this thing. Even if something, you know, terrible was done to you and you have been like the victim of abuse, you get to choose how now you want to move forward in your life. You're not stuck because of that. You're only stuck because of your perception of what happened and how you are seeing yourself as a result of it. And so it does, it's a huge invitation to let's shake things up. Let's look at things differently. Let's move beyond this. But that takes some expansion of your mind and the way that you think about things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, that can be a hard one for people to grasp, I think, when we've had really traumatic or hurtful things that have happened at different times. And we just did an interview with Lee Carroll and Monica Moriani, who actually Lee Carroll channels Cryon, which is another entity. And they actually have a very different perspective around it, which is, I think, helpful for people to see too. I think with stuff with trauma, the more perspective you can have on things to see where it lands, to give you different concepts outside of the box that we tend to look at things. That's why we do these series, to try and talk to lots of different people to get different perspective, to see what lands for you. You know, what are you ready to kind of look at and what might be beneficial? So that episode might be helpful too. That one will come up, I think, or it might have even come up by the time it might have been the episode, I think, actually before yours probably. So check that out if you haven't, and you'll kind of get another perspective on sort of, I think, where you're talking about. So when people are healing then, I think one thing that I'm wondering about is, what's the process look like for them then? So once the resolution is done, do the symptoms just go away? Is there a place for sort of this healing crisis kind of explanation? Like, what can people expect? Because sometimes what I find happens is, in the process of healing, sometimes symptoms don't just get better sort of spontaneously. Sometimes they do, but sometimes they don't. And I'm wondering if you can walk us through that process a little bit, so people have an idea of what the journey can look like for different people.
Absolutely. Because that is so important. The second biological law, this is what Dr. Hammer identified as the law of two phases, which is very interesting, because in medicine, allopathic medicine, they look and they look at these different symptoms and they see them as completely different disease processes, and they label them completely differently. But what Dr. Hammer found was that they are part of a two-phase pattern, which is fascinating. So kind of how this works is, our normal day-night rhythm. Normally during the day, our bodies are more sympathetic active. So that's fight or flight. So you can go hunt and get food. And then in the evening, you are resting and digesting. And so we have this normal up and down rhythm. And now the moment that you are shocked by something, you're caught off guard. So let's say there's something that came into your experience and you cannot accept it. You can't process it. You can't digest it. It's stuck in your psyche. You're thinking about it all the time. Boom, that was your conflict shock. That was your DHS. So in that moment, your body shifted into a state of heightened sympathetic activity. And so everybody is kind of aware of this. Oh, this is the fight or flight. This is, you know, cold hands, slower digestion, higher heart rate. You know, your mind is all over the place. You can't sleep at night. Those are all indications that you're in the cold phase. And so this is the fight or flight. This is the get out of danger phase. And so depending on how long you stay in that phase, there is tissue adaptation taking place. And so for the example of the indigestible morsel conflict, if that's how your psyche perceived the situation, what happens is your digestive tract starts to adapt. And so there's cellular proliferation, and this is for the purpose of either producing more digestive juices or absorbing more of what's going on so that you can break down, you know, with the juices, or absorb more of what's happening, because your body only has biological solutions to help you with these things that may not be biological in nature. It's not that you necessarily, you know, swallowed a bone fragment and now your body, that's the biological correlation. All of these programs originally just served very straightforward functions. you know, oh, you swallowed something that you cannot digest. Therefore, your tissues are going to help you to digest it by producing more digestive juices. Very simple. But as we've evolved and changed and our brains have, you know, developed this capacity to have, you know, metaphorical and figurative experiences of a bone fragment, but really it's a life circumstance that we can't digest. The body is still perceiving it in that ancient way, which is why we need to get on board with our ancient physiology and kind of bridge the modern mind, the ancient body, so that we can understand, oh, when my colon develops a tumor, it's not because I'm being punished for a bad diet. It's not because, you know, something's just gone awry. It's because I've been experiencing this shock. I was in the shock for a long time. So if you think back, you know, animals, nature, animals won't have conflicts that last for years and years and years, issues that they just can't get over necessarily. There's a few exceptions to that in the animal world, which is kind of a whole rabbit hole. But for the most part, you'd either fight the enemy, you'd run away from it, you'd freeze, or you'd die. And then the whole process would be over. But, you know, when we are in conflict for a long time, there's a lot of adaptation. There's a lot that impact in the brain is bigger, and the erosion or the cellular proliferation, whatever tissue adaptation is taking place, depending on the biological program, that determines how long your restoration phase is going to be. So when you resolve that conflict finally, you break it down, you get over it, you process it, you forgive, you heal, you release. Conflict resolution takes different forms depending on the person. What is it that you need? Do you need, you know, a cathartic moment? Do you need to, you know, tell that person off? Do you need to just make peace and forgive? Something's going to happen though, and you are going to find that resolution. And then this is the big thing to know. Once you're out of the woods with the mental aspect, with the thing that's just been on your mind, once you chill out, once you resolve it, it's not over. And this is why this, knowing the second biological law, is so important, because once the resolution takes place and your psyche is at ease and you're able to sleep again and you breathe a sigh of relief, then the tissue restoration phase begins, or the healing phase begins, because all the tissue that was adapted when you were in conflict now needs to be set back to normal. And so this is for the example of the colon. So if there was tissue growth during that phase, now once the resolution has taken place, there needs to be tissue decomposition, because we don't need those cells anymore. And the body knows those cells are disposable and they are decomposed using bacteria. And so now when you are in this phase, you're fatigued. You're like, oh, I don't have as much energy. You're having diarrhea, bloody diarrhea, perhaps with mucus. And that tends to be, oh my gosh, you know, people say this is horrible. That's typically what will send someone into the doctor, where they get a diagnosis and they say, oh my goodness, you have this problem, which creates a new conflict, often called a diagnosis shock, when you get diagnosed with something. But it's all because we are not aware that this two-phase pattern is happening, that there was adaptation for a long period of time, then there was resolution, and now the body is going through the tissue restoration process. But when you understand it, it doesn't make it comfortable. It's still uncomfortable to be bloated or to have pain or to, you know, be running to the bathroom all day long. It doesn't mean that it's comfortable, but when you understand why it's happening and you're not afraid of some nefarious, mysterious, horrible, you know, disease process going on in your body, you can abide it. You can, and that's a big part of, you know, the work I do with people, is how to chill when you're having symptoms, how to make sense out of understanding the biological laws, seeing that what your body is doing. And that does, it does take a lot of trust, because a lot of people, they just believe that their body is broken or there's something wrong or they need outside assistance in order to be okay. And so during that phase, it can be a dark night of the soul when you are dealing with these symptoms. And when your body gets to the point of maximum swelling, because there's going to be swelling on the organ level, also on the brain level. And so you get to this point of maximum swelling, and then the body does a big squeeze. And so the big squeeze, it's kind of like giving birth. There is a big squeeze that happens. You know, it could be terrible stomach cramps, you know, a terrible headache. In some biological programs, it's a heart attack, it's a stroke, it's a seizure, it's some big surge of sympathetic activity, but what that is intended to do is to squeeze out the edema and get you back to that normal day-night rhythm. And so knowing this, expecting, knowing that there's going to be a big, you know, a big pain, a big discomfort, something that's going to happen, depending on the program. And then I'm going to be through the woods. I mean, it's kind of like the classic old timey doctor that's like, if he makes it through tonight, he'll be okay. Because, you know, depending on how intense the conflict was, how long it lasted, you know, the healing phase and the epicrisis can be extremely intense. And, you know, it would be great one day when we get to where, you know, medicine is using the five biological laws to support patients rather than working against the body, we work with it. We'll be able to help a lot of people make it through that phase more easily with less threat of fatality, because it can happen.
The Inspire Health Podcast will be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
The station that makes you feel good.
Well, and that raises a good question. Is sort of like when people are going through that, and as a practitioner, where do you know where the line is when it's still part of what is the beneficial healing crisis versus when it's sort of a exacerbation of the quote-unquote problem, or how would you look at it from that perspective? I almost think of it sometimes like when people have like a fever, right? And it's like, okay, like for the most part, you just got to ride it out, right? As much as you can. But sometimes there's a point where it's like, okay, where you start to get a little bit kind of antsy, a bit like, okay, is it going too far? Do I need to do something to kind of pull it back a little bit? Like, is there a balance there somewhere? Or what have you found?
Really depends on the individual. So I can't make, you know, I don't make recommendations for people about anything. All I do is I have to work with where they are, because it's their body. And this is kind of a, you know, like with birth and things like that. It's, you know, as a practitioner, typically, and the reason that often normal bodily processes are interfered with is because the practitioner gets nervous. And they get nervous about, oh, you know, is this my responsibility? And that's, again, that 100% responsibility thing. I have to know my own limits. Mm-hmm. You know, I have to know, am I afraid of 105 degree fever? Am I freaked out? Do I need to bring it down? You know, because I trust my body. You know, I trust that my body, if I'm not adding, this is the thing, one of the biological programs Dr. Hummer discovered that adds, you know, a more dangerous element is the kidney collecting tubule conflict. So if you're in healing with any type of issue, any type of biological program, when you're in the tissue restoration phase, if you add panic and fear of death, isolation, abandonment, refugee and existence, those are kind of the umbrella types of conflicts that will cause this, your kidney collecting tubules shut off and you hold on to water because it's a protective mechanism. But if your brain is already swelling because you're in a healing phase and your organ is already swelling because you're in a healing phase, and then you add more water to both areas, that's when we can get, you know, major brain swelling, go into a coma type of thing, you know, major pain and pressure and discomfort that can block passageways. But if you're not adding that on top of it, for the most part, for most conflicts, it's self-limited. The body knows what it's doing. The body knows, you know, exactly how much swelling needs to take place, and it's not going to exceed that. It knows exactly how high the fever needs to go, and it's not going to exceed that. It's when we start to meddle and interfere, and we're so panicked and afraid that, you know, something like medical intervention becomes a life-saving and a helpful thing. But it is, you know, it is for every individual to know themselves, to know their limits, to know how much do I trust my body? Do I just want to go in? And there are situations where a person, where they've had a conflict for such a long time, and there's so much tissue adaptation, and the healing phase would be so intense that it may be, you know, the best option for some people in that situation is to have a surgery, you know, like, let's kind of start over. And, but having a surgery from the idea, not that, oh, we've got to get all the pieces out because something, but when you understand this was an adaptation process, I was in conflict for a long time, you know, this removal of tissue is going to help me. I now am aware, you know, I think that you can utilize medical care very intelligently when you know the biological laws.
Yeah, I like that. I think that's really good. And it all comes back down to your perception of what you're doing, right? Which will either create more harm or not, I think, in many ways. Is there ever a place for things like when people are going through the process, is it ever supported with something like homeopathy or something that's not really a suppressive medicine, that's more kind of, homeopathy, I think, it almost was like pushing the bus along a little bit. It's kind of assisting it in moving in the direction that you want it to move in. And often in the healing crisis, you'll see, you know, Herring's law even kind of play out a little bit, where you'll see symptoms will show up in a way where they will be from inside out, from top down, in reverse order of how they showed up or were suppressed. Do you find that sort of process, or is there therapies like that that you find that can be supportive during this process?
Oh yeah, lots of GNM consultants and practitioners will use, you know, homeopathy or, you know, Chinese medicine or Ayurveda, all of these different systems and tools and ways of it. You think of it as supporting the body. We want to support the body, you know, with good nutrition. We want to support the body with, you know, herbs and supplement, with things that can help to help you to get through these phases. And so certainly there's lots of different practitioners who use lots of different things. Myself personally, I just tend to be a minimalist with all supplements and things because I've gone far to the extreme with it. And, you know, I'm more on the minimal side now, but certainly a lot of people are helped tremendously by holistic and homeopathic remedies and interventions while they're in that phase. And so I say, use whatever makes sense to you, whatever feels good, whatever resonates, use it, you know, because the more comfortable, anything that makes you more comfortable and more kind of relaxed in this intense phase, the better. And so I'm open for people using whatever, but I want to know, my main thing I help people with is, what is your relationship to this intervention that you're using? How do you feel about it? Is it, you know, are you using it as a suppressant? Because sometimes people will be in, you know, kind of feet in both worlds of kind of understanding GNM, kind of using a lot of other things. But it's like, I want to know why are you doing a vitamin C infusion? Because do you think that the vitamin C is going to be, you know, killing cancer or boosting your immune system? Because that, you know, kind of indicates to me that they're not fully into the understanding that the tissue adaptation, that the cancer itself is meaningful. You know, so when you're trying to still kill the tumor, that indicates that you're split kind of in two worlds. And so I'm just very interested in, how do you think about this intervention or this thing that you're doing?
Yeah, I think that's really interesting too. It reminds me of Dr. John Sarno's work with mind-body prescription and whatnot. He would often say, don't do anything else, because as soon as you start to incorporate anything else, you're sort of taking away from the ability to actually clear what really needs to be cleared. Especially if it's, basically he would say, if it's from an mental emotional conflict of some sort, that if you're adding anything else in, you're sort of still taking away from being able to completely work with it on that level. So I can totally appreciate that as well. But I think it's neat to just also, it's a kind of medicine that really honors the individual process. It goes back to letting the patient have a say as far as what's going and what works best for them at any point in time too.
Absolutely. And that's the thing is some people, they want to be told what to do. They want to say, doc, give me a prescription. I'll follow it to the T. And they, you know, they want to take out, you know, that personal responsibility and that personal understanding because it's more difficult. It takes more brain power. It's easy to be given a prescription and say, okay, if I just do this, I'll be okay. And this is, I mean, and this is a big reason we're in the predicament we're in today is because we are outsourcing our own personal understanding. We think, oh, I didn't go to school for this. And so I don't know. And I can't understand my body. I'm just just Joe. I don't know how my body works. And so doc, tell me what to do. And that, that whole idea of outsourcing your personal responsibility and understanding to an authority figure is kind of the essential problem is that you, because you can be duped, you can be told all sorts of things about your body. And if it doesn't make logical sense to you, but you just keep doing it anyways, because you have this kind of little old me syndrome of, oh, well, who am I to know? You know, doctor knows best. And that's what I see a lot of people doing, just lining up, taking interventions, doing things that don't really make sense to them, but they're like, it's just a thing to do. And I don't know any different. I don't know any better. And so, you know, when a person is kind of in that mode, I really do encourage them to look at why are you doing this? What makes sense to you? So like for me, I trust my body, even if it's doing something that is painful or seems crazy. It's like, I know that my body is so much smarter than my educated mind. And so I trust my innate intelligence. And I really want to encourage people to make that connection because it's kind of a transcendent experience. I actually had an awakening moment while I was learning and reading about chiropractic philosophy, because it was like, just in trusting your body, what does that look like? Like to really tune in to like, when your body says, I'm hungry, when your body says, I have to go to the bathroom, it's like, I had a moment where I was just like, whoa, my body is so wise and so brilliant. And all of the things that it's doing right now to keep my heart beating, when I think about all of the processes happening on a cellular, organic level of like the chemicals in my blood, you know, you take the most brilliant chemist in the world, that chemist doesn't know exactly what its body needs, what his body needs in that moment. Only the body knows. And so I think having that reverence for the body, instead of thinking of it as just the stupid machine who breaks down, we have to take organs out, it does random stuff. You know, that to me is such a core essence of this is, do you trust and understand your body, or do you feel like you are just kind of in this broke down junker who needs to, you know, just be, have all its parts replaced? Because that ideology is affecting everything about your choices and how you're perceiving everything about your life.
Yeah, it's such an important point, Melissa. I would say that the concept of self-authority and sovereignty as it's coming out is probably one of the most, if not the most important thing that's coming out of everything right at the moment. It is, and I think the most, what's such an important piece around that, and you've kind of tied a couple things together there, is that it requires us to listen again back to the body. Because what I honestly think is happening a lot of times is people often get a sensation in their body when something does not, I really think it happens, like if it happens, whether or not we are connected to it or aware of it or not is a very different story. But I think that we get something, the body tells us information all the time. And then I think what happens is we might even get that feeling, but then we almost kind of rationalize it away as it's not something to pay attention to. And, you know, unfortunately, I feel like that's gone on for a long time, right from as kids. I mean, we're kind of taught very early on to very much disconnect in a lot of ways from what the body's actually telling us. Either don't listen to it, or, you know, don't feel that, or here, do this so you don't have to feel this. And I think then it creates a population of people that are not connected to what their body's always trying to tell them. And so then we start to not trust our body. But in order to trust the body, you have to start the process again of reconnecting and listening to it. So I think it's such an important piece. It's almost impossible to have self-authority until you start to trust the body again. But in order to trust the body, you have to start the process of slowing down and listening to the body and then learning from the wisdom that it's sharing.
Spot on. Absolutely. And that is, we, you know, we, the system, the medical system from, and it really does, it starts preconception. It starts with people who are going to have a child and how they approach that project. It's like, how do you approach that project? Are you, you know, typically people are, you know, in the doctor's office, like as soon as they find out they're pregnant. And so, and who is, you know, directing that whole process, the medical system. And so, and the medical system sees the body as broken. It sees the birth process as an emergency and as a problem, rather than the most organic and natural thing that has always been happening. And that, you know, has, is programmed into the body, this deep wisdom. And we have programming from television that says, oh, the baby's head can be too big for your pelvis, and a C-section is really easy, and an epidural is great. And so that's how we start that indoctrination process, is with, you know, women in the birthing system. And then children, they just come out into the world not trusting their body, not believing that their body knows what it's doing. And we, you know, we inject them with things. And like you said, when they have a fever, we bring it down. We don't say, oh, isn't this interesting? What is this teaching us about the body, about your experience? And so it is, it's a whole reconnection process. And you're absolutely right, to reclaim our sovereignty. You cannot be sovereign if you are outsourcing your information about your body to an outside authority. And that's the amazing thing about the five biological laws in this work, is it's like, you know, it's kind of, instead of having the intermediary, instead of needing to go to the priest, and instead of needing to go to the doctor, you know, this is like the tearing of the curtain. This is, here's the information. This is how your body works. And yes, you may benefit from support and guidance and assistance from someone who's trusted their body for a longer period of time and who has seen bodies do things and then heal and recover, because that gives you strength and that gives you confidence of knowing, oh, I've seen someone make it through a heart attack. I've seen someone, you know, make it through this type of intense situation, and you can do it too. And then you have to kind of, you have to work that muscle. You have to build up, you have to see. And that's what I suggest for people who, if you've got, you know, kind of a big health symptom, like, let's start with something small. Let's notice when you have a zit. You know, for me, that was so instructive to see, oh, you know, I used to think all these different wild things about what causes acne. But when I learned the GNM connection, that it's feeling attacked or feeling soiled, my body creates a little protective shield against the thing I felt attacked by. And then when that shield is no longer necessary, it decomposes it with bacteria, and boop, there's a little, you know, there's a zit on my face. It's like, oh. And so you start small and notice a stuffy nose after you had a frustration or an annoyance or, you know, a stink conflict, or you know, were out in public and someone was smoking and you're like, who smokes anymore? And you're like, this stinks. And then the next day you have, you know, a stuffy nose, and it's like, oh, that's so interesting. And so you start making all these connections and you start to see, my body has known what it was doing all along. Back, you know, 20 years ago when they took my gallbladder out, I saw that I had a chronic identity conflict or a chronic territorial anger conflict. You know, I had that issue at work. I wasn't fitting in. I didn't know my place. And then I would have those terrible cramps in my stomach. And then they took my gallbladder out, and I thought, oh, thank God they got this horrible broke down organ out. And now you see, oh, there was wisdom there. There was intelligence there. There was adaptation taking place that I thought was a problem. Isn't that interesting? And so you start bringing all of these things, and that's how you can become this sovereign being who understands their body, and you move forward in the world not fearing symptoms. Especially like if you're a parent and your child has something going on, that can be the most terrifying thing in the entire world, because it's like, this is my baby. I need to, you know, take them in and take them. But when you understand, oh, I know what this means. I know where this came from, and I know how to help and support my child through this. You know, that's sovereignty. That's freedom.
Yeah, I love it. I think that's great. And you're around the idea of starting with something small. It totally reminds me of when I'll work with patients that have, that are working with certain, you know, stronger mental, emotional challenges, right? And the idea of sometimes being able to stay with some of the sensation long enough to actually let it sit there and let it kind of dissolve and bring some awarenesses, which is tricky to do sometimes for really intense ones. So we usually say, start with little ones. You know, it's like the bourgeoisie suffering. It's like, start with some of the smaller grade suffering, like something like maybe impatience when you're in a lineup, you know, or if you're not getting to work quite on the time and you're stuck in traffic, you know, something like that, maybe don't try and tackle the you know, parent issues that you've got or the big issues with your partner or something like that. It might be too much and blow you out of the water. But at least if you can start small, you start to build up a network for how to do that process even.
Absolutely. Yep. Start small. See how capable you are of noticing and of shifting, of, you know, like that example is perfect, of being in a line and noticing that frustration, that impatience, because these are patterns, you know. And so how you do the small things is also how you do the big things, just at scale. And so when you can see, oh, I was able to become aware of it, to calm my nervous system, to regulate myself. And I shifted just from a couple of different thoughts, from being enraged and upset and frustrated and gritting my teeth to everything's actually fine. And when you start seeing that on a small scale, you can say, oh, this is my power. My power is in how I'm choosing to perceive the things in my world. And I've got a typical reaction, you know, a built-in response to stuff that happens, but my power is in recognizing it when it happens. Oh, there's that feeling. Oh, there, this is, and this is how I teach people to notice their tracks and triggers. So, you know, there are biological, external, internal reminders of conflict. You have to notice, oh, I'm feeling that feeling again. And you can really get so in tune with your body when you know. Like, I know prior to having a breakout, I know that I'm in the conflict phase. I can tell that I'm in it now because I've tuned into those little cues. And that's the cool thing is the body does. It gives you these little clues, indications. And when you're tuned into it, you can see it, recognize it, downgrade and resolve it almost immediately, so that, you know, I've gotten to the point where I can prevent, like if I notice that feeling attacked or feeling soiled experience going on in my nervous system, I can notice it and downgrade it and shut it off. And I won't even have a breakout. You'll never see an external anything because it was so brief. And that's really the goal, is to make it so you are, you know, so adaptive and so responsive and aware of your experience that you're able to recognize and shift these things before they become kind of big, because that's the only problem. It's the intensity and the duration of the conflict determines the intensity and duration of the tissue restoration phase. And so, you know, if you're listening to this, and you don't have anything going on, you know, big health-wise in your life, learn all this now. Learn it when you're healthy. Learn it before you're symptomatic, because it does, you know, it's a project. It's a big project when you're already in a chronic health condition. Then you gather this information because you're dealing with layers of conflict triggers and reactivations and symptoms that you have to learn how to make peace with, and also the life situations you've got to make peace with. So it's not impossible. You certainly can do it. It's just you've got to look at this like a daily constant, because all day long there's going to be invitations for you to be frustrated, to be annoyed, to devalue yourself, to go back into all of the conflicts that started this situation to begin with. And so it's a taller order, but you're certainly capable of it. Of course you are, because this is what your life has presented you with. This is what you're experiencing. You know, you can evolve through this, or you can, you know, choose to suffer through it. It depends on how you approach it and, you know, what you think you're capable of.
This comes to the end of our time for this episode. Please go to inspirehealthpodcast.com and listen to the remainder of this important episode. Thank you so much.